High levels in the category of Slack, Etsy. Almost every household in the United States has Slack. Almost every house in the United States has opened up Etsy. If we think about the future of high level, I think it's got crazy destination. And so congrats to the guys. Welcome to High Level Hot Takes. My name is Matt Tassino. And if you are a high leveler looking for ways to take advantage of this amazing tool and hear about cool case studies of how it's being used, you are in the right place. If you're looking for more tips and tricks and all things high level, check out howtohighlevel.com after the show.
It's everyone's favorite time of the week, and this is a juicy one. Matt, what is going on?
Yeah, this is exciting because at the time of recording this, I don't think it's public. When you're seeing this, it should be public. But High Level just took on a second investor. A second investor. So the backstory here is about 18 months ago, High Level, fall of 22. Okay. They got an investment for about $60 million at a $240 million valuation there. So a minority stake in the company. But if I do that, what is 60 divided by 240 is 25%. 25. There we go. So they sold 25% of the company at that valuation to a group in the private equity firm in the Northwest. And largely, that firm's playbook is surge capital, help develop and stabilize and mature the team, and then try to get to like $1 billion valuation and sort of start to de-risk at that point. Now we have a second investor that's come into the mix. And so a couple interesting juicy parts about this. So the investor is General Atlantic. This is probably the first, I'm going to say like a big time investor. They are kind of like part of a giant private equity space. So they've done investments in such companies as Snapchat, Slack, Duolingo, Clear, Etsy. So, you know, just a few notable ones. Their playbook is a lot more of, big time, giant private equity, or kind of like mega private equity, mega money firms. And so it's interesting because this now starts to like craft the narrative, like what's next. This is always like speculation. That's why we're doing the hot take. So a couple key things to note. So one, they did not, founders are still there, right? This was a minority stake. However, it's only been speculation. So we'll see. I don't want to say too much. You can sell a minority stake of a business, but no longer have the majority stake in the business.
Right. If you sell the minority several times
yes.
to two different people, right, that number keeps shrinking.
Yes. If you keep selling minority stakes in the business, at some point, you may have the largest stake in the business, but you don't actually have the majority stake in the business. So what my hot take is we may be moving into a season where the majority control in High Level is actually in big money, in private equity. So What does that season mean? What does that, what does that look like? What are we going to see? So a couple of things. It's interesting. I would not have thought, if you look at my past speculations and hot takes about it, I would have said we would go from one PE to mega PE that takes on controlling share. This firm, that's not their style. They usually are a lead investor in other rounds. So High Level hasn't done like they haven't needed to go like a venture capital, rounds A, B, C, D, E, F kind of thing. And so they just haven't done that because they haven't needed the capital. Like they actually could make money. They have a good business model,
right.
But this has allowed them to like be a powerhouse in terms of talent and developers and bandwidth and things to build it out. It's also, to some aspect allowed the founders to de-risk, which is a great thing, right? Mm-hmm. On some level there. But so they're not leaving. Roles aren't changing. I don't think we're actually going to experience much of a difference in the day-to-day. So think about this too. In the last round of investor, it took them about a year before I feel like we really started to see the effects of the investment, right? Because if they, let's say they took the money in November, they get around to actually starting to like get their hiring and infrastructure into place in, let's say, like June, it probably took until December or the fall where we started to see the aftermath of all that talent.
Right.
Right. Because just because I hire a talented person doesn't mean day one they start cranking stuff out. They now have to reconcile. What does it look like to have teams of, I actually don't know what their team size headcount is now, but like we're talking between 500 to 1,000 people. It's very different than a team of, 100 to 200 folks. And so immediately, not much is going to change for the end user. What is going to change immediately? affiliates is going to change. And not in a disastrous way, but there's something that mature companies realize is that you are liable for whatever your affiliate says.
Right.
You just are. As them as your affiliate, you're, if they do something illegal, you're in trouble. So that is a inherent risky model in affiliate marketing. This is why some big companies don't do affiliates, or they don't just open up to everyone to become an affiliate. They have sort of like a standard and a process and a vetting there that happens. High Level's been very laissez-faire and they've benefited from it. Affiliates has been the primary method of growth for them. And but I see that changing. So most like there's going to be a crackdown on what is allowed, what is not allowed in terms of messaging. Now, to be fair, this isn't unreasonable. This is basically, they're saying, don't do illegal stuff. And we're gonna, now there's consequences for doing illegal stuff, right? So that you're gonna see more enforcement because it's just different. Like for the founders, they've risked a degree of time and money growing this thing. For an investor, they're like, I just dropped a ton of money. So for the founder, one, you're a risk taker inherently. Right. For an investor, there's more due diligence in your risk taking. And so they're like, yeah, we believe in you, but we're going to mitigate all of the nonsense risk. And so affiliates can be a nonsense risk. And so I think we're going to start to see that. We're going to start to see a crackdown, way more enforcement of what you can do, what you can't do, what you can say, what you can't say. And I also think on the other side of that, we'll actually see High Level improve their marketing. So right now I tell folks, I'm like, High Level is not actually great at marketing. They are great product people, and that's great. For the investor, right, just aligning what they want. They want the future. For the next 2 years, they want to see not mostly affiliate growth. It's just it. Because they know affiliates are risky. They could say something illegal, and you're liable for it, and they cost you ongoing fees. These investors are saying, here's a bunch of money. Here's what I'd like you to do. I would like you to find a way to grow where you don't take on risky nobody partners every single day. And so this is weird. This is my hot take. I'm not saying, you know, I'm no longer an affiliate at High Level, nothing like that. Still love High Level, still going to keep doing it. I'm just saying, zoom out. What's happening here? These big firms that, you know, may now be like, throw their weight around and be like, this is what we want. So in general, anytime there's an acquisition, they don't want to rock the boat. And that's where I saw it. It took about a year in a good way, but it still took a year from the last investment for anybody to notice, right? Where it started to feel like, wow, they dropped new features every single week and big features. You know, now it's like they're relentlessly like, make it better, make it better, make it better. I loved Varun's speech at the last High Level Summit where he's like, developers, developers, developers. You look at their team stack and they would be like, the biggest department is developers. I actually don't know this. I should ask Varun. But I think more than half the team is developers at this point. So you're like, if, you know, from that perspective, I say the two biggest departments are probably for them, customer support and then developers. And that's not by accident. So I'm going to guess we'll see a maturity in the marketing. I would say in reflection, you've seen them start to do more of these strategic partnership training education front initiatives. I don't know if if you've seen those and they're trying, I'm going to guess that's ramped up. So I'd say over the last 5 years, they probably averaged one every 6 months and maybe got to like one every quarter. I bet you we start seeing that one per week. We see them starting to partner with educators and start doing trainings one time per week where they bring outside, you know, folks, not outside, but in the High Level community, but they know a tactic for how to grow your business and they let them teach how to grow your business. If I were to give you my hot take, here's my guess at how they run that.
Okay.
My guess is they go to, smart, talented person who's an educator, has a method. And they say, you want to run a workshop with us? You basically get to pitch this thing and then pitch a bonus for why people would sign up under your affiliate. So basically you get to do an incentivized sign up and I've got bonuses to bring affiliates. I bet you they get the partners to actually cover the ad spend to promote the workshop and they're saying like, well, so we'll run, you know, you give us some money, we'll run this amount of ad spend for your workshop from our brand. So it's High Level run ad saying, hey, join this workshop. And then you get your you know, potential upside is all of the affiliate commissions. So
yeah. Alternatively, they could be like, we're going to advertise it. Your affiliate payout's going to be lower or whatever, right? Like
they could do that. Yeah. And so we'll see. But so yeah, right now, General Atlantic, if you want to look at, they are a big, like, High Level's last investor was like, you know, companies they've invested into, we're talking like less than 20, I feel like. General Atlantic is like hundreds, but they're also used to, maybe getting in at later rounds and more established. Yeah. But they also have experience of being a leading one. I actually noticed, since it's my hot take and you've stayed around this long, I want to tell you a funny story. So one of the companies that General Atlantic invested into, I think it was later rounds, is a company called Bolt. And I know, it's not the same Bolt. I was thinking of Bolt Threads. I don't have a story here. So Bolt is a financial services thing out of San Fran. And I was confusing with Bolt Threads, which I had a funny story about Bolt Threads. And they are a company that went like 9 rounds of VC money. And while I was doing my MBA at UCLA, like a guest professor for one of the classes I took was just a VC who would just fly down once a week and just like unpack the deals that were happening. And so I got a little behind the scenes of that company. It was interesting to learn how you pivot and grow a non-profitable company that was getting like $1 billion valuations.
It's so high level's not in that space. Happens. No.
So that's our juicy hot take. This may be the first time that you're hearing about it. And so if you want, at this point, I'm guessing if you go to High Level's website, you can see press releases about the investment, start to dig into General Atlantic. And like I said, immediately, I think all that we're going to see, we're not going to see anything. Short run, we're going to see nothing. Long run, we're going to see more compliance. I think we're going to see better marketing from High Level. And I also think we're going to see more investment. So I think, I don't think this is the end. So General Atlantic is rarely what I think High Level is being courted all the time.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt they're being courted all the time. And General Atlantic as an investor is only going to up that legitimacy and also up those introductions, which are probably already happening. But I think where a big, like if you're a jumbo private equity, why didn't you maybe give High Level the valuation that they wanted? It was the affiliates. And that's where I think General Atlantic is going to like control that, and provide a degree of legitimacy. But look at, if you want, those companies that I rolled, look at the companies that are in the SaaS space that I mentioned General Atlantic also invested into, and like what was their ultimate outcome? And I think that is now on the table for High Level. So Previously, you would have speculated, but if someone said like, hey, do you think High Level is going to go public before this? I would have thought, probably not. But now I'm like, ooh, I think that's on the table. It just might be going public under another public company, because you've seen, or if you want to dig into it, General Atlantic do that with other companies. And
like reverse IPOs or? Wrapping up under into a.
Here's an example of how sometimes you can do it. It's very hard to turn your company public or to do an IPO.
Yeah.
One way that they do it is they acquire a struggling public company. And so you find a company that's like struggling. It's basically nonsense. It's slightly related, and you acquire it. And it's almost like basically it's a way to take the company public, but it's through acquisition. So you bought someone else who went through the hard work of going public, but couldn't make it on the exchange, and just wasn't a good company. So I could see something like that happening. I think that's where you see if you're doing a real traditional IPO. I mean, that's probably 5 to 10 years out if High Level is just going to do it that way. But I just think the introductions, the playing, like just imagine you're on that list. People are now like High Level's in the category of Slack, of Etsy. Those are household names.
Yep.
Those aren't fringe, maybe around it like technologies. Those are like, oh, that's in every, it's not in every, I mean, nowadays with work from home, that's in probably almost every household in the United States has Slack. Every house in the United States has opened up Etsy. If we think about the future of High Level, I think it's got crazy, crazy destination. And so congrats to the guys. They're probably the only ones who actually stick around and listen to my entire hot take. And so hear me. I'm stoked for you. And I'm ready and stoked for the future. And I think it's all good positive change.